Mr. Ashman.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'm going to take you back a couple months. Appeared before you on January 6th for permission to prepare and post notices for the expansion of Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District to include parcels along Route 54 from Lighthouse Road, primarily Design Church Road, to Williamsville Road, as shown on the map above, which has expanded a little bit. We held a public hearing on February 10th, at which time we had several landowners come in requesting inclusion into the annexation. And the engineering department was tasked to see if inclusion was possible and to return the following week. The following week, Tuesday's county council office or county offices were closed due to inclement weather. That forced us outside of a 30-day window we have to post and come up with a resolution for a project. So we had to go back and repost the project. And just a side note, we are currently working on legislation to increase that 30 days to, I believe, 90 days. And we should be close to having a bill number soon. Back on the project, we received petitions from many landowners in the proposed expansion, as well as others. And we received some letters at that time and some of them we could still not quite reach with sewer. There was a strong support from the people and letters from other property owners. And the project will install a main trunk line for sewer in Route 54 to serve those parcels on both sides of 54. And we'll also put some stub lines out some side roads for future expansion. Once we missed our window for the public hearing, we took some time to investigate a little further into adjacent parcels and are now able to include several additional parcels, making those requesting at the previous meeting contiguous and able to be served. The new parcels will also be sharing in the cost of the infrastructure, which is and increasing additional people reduces our costs, hopefully. And we have also, with the help of Gina, who's not here, been able to roll the SCC fee into the financing. That'll allow one SCC fee per parcel. So the revised user cost will be $7.06 per front foot with an annual service charge of $294. And any additional SEC fees required would be $5,500. And I'll probably shoot past some of those. This is our boundary. If you recall at the last meeting, we were approached by these three parcels to be included in the district. We were able to include them. And we were also by the commercial piece on the corner here was the other request. Along with that, we were able to bring in this parcel, which is really farmland exempt, but it also allowed us to bring in five additional parcels on this side of the road, which still didn't get us contiguous, but these parcels on the south, I'll call it the sort of the south side of the road, we also contacted them, and they were okay with being included in the boundary at this time, so that got us contiguous to serve the commercial property. As part of that, our infrastructure will now extend out Route 54 around to serve the commercial property. And the parcels over here, we just happened to have a project that was working on this piece of parcel. We brought them in and asked them if there was a way that the county could get a line across their parcel to serve these two. We were already serving this one. It wasn't in the district, but it would have been served. They have agreed to install this 8-inch line across the road, across Sand Cove Road, and they will terminate it there. We will be able to connect laterals for those two parcels. Actually allowed us quite an easy connection for them instead of coming down Sand Cove Road, because this is a big stormwater pond. It would have been a lot of pipe with nobody paying for it. General user rates, there's packets back there if people want to see them, but it's basically the same thing. Minimum is 40 front feet. Maximum right now is capped at 100 front feet. The only thing we did different was we know that this is a project and this is a project. We've contacted them and they've agreed to pay front footage for those parcels and not come in for farmland exemption. A lot of front footage helps the existing landowners, reduces their costs. That got our front footage down to $7.06. So for a 100 front foot home, it's about $1,001 a year. Then there'll be a $100 permit fee. System connection charges for those one EDU per parcel will be zero. And we base that back to the February 10th public hearing. We didn't extend it to today. Anything new would pay the $5,500 or whatever it would be come July 1st, and an estimated plumbing cost of $1,000 to $1,500.
It's reasonable.
That gets us back to, this is just a comparison chart from some other districts. This is Concord Road. Their front footage is considerably less, but they are paying the system connection charge. Route 26, a little bit farther, Angola North a little bit. So you can see the increase in front footage costs. We contribute some of that to the larger parcels in this area. Paying for more of the front footage, and it seems with construction, the prices seem to be going up a little bit at this point in time as well. This is a part of a public hearing that we need to do is for Dan Parsons' department. This is his Beers Atlas. This is letting us know if there are archaeological or historical parcels in the area. At last meeting, there were none, and I don't think we extended enough to affect that. And this is his cultural and historical resources map. And if you have any questions on that, Dan is here.
I do. Mr. President?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
If I may, and because I've gotten a few phone calls on this expansion, primarily from the owner of the commercial complex there. Maybe you can pull that back up. Right where the bend is?
Mr. Iaketa.
You got it.
That is this parcel right here.
So I know that the county reached over to him to kind of further explain the fees here, and he, of course, connected to me this morning knowing it was on the agenda. So I know there's two different fees here, correct? So one, you have the connection charge, mm-hmm. Which is per unit or per unit. I guess it's...
Where it's a commercial unit, he will be assessed how many EDUs he has, and that will be...
I think at 11 or 12, I
think he's at 11 right now.
Correct. So he would be charged as the owner 11 times the $5,500.
He gets one, according to Gina's financing. She is allowing one SCC fee for each parcel, so he will pay for 10 additional.
I gotcha. Okay. And then the $7.06, the front footage, that's literally based upon the...
That's the front footage of his property. What's touching the road where we put the pipe in? Where he's on this radius, there's a calculation to come up with his front footage number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, in a normal sense, residential, you've got one home,
yes.
If you would, per that lot. Here, you've got, I guess it's 11.
11 units.
Per that one lot. So is he paying just the 7.06 for just the front footage, period?
I am going to defer to the county engineer because he was working on that.
I'm doing this on his behalf because he could not be here.
Right.
He asked me to do so.
Michael Izzo, county engineer. I have looked at this, and he will pay probably not the entire length of his front footage because of the way our ordinance is written. I've looked at it. I think there's a fair way to do it. I didn't anticipate addressing this question this morning, but I do have a number I've looked at upstairs, which I think is more reasonable.
And then one other last question, perhaps for the council in general, but on these commercial, buildings, if you would, or owners, whereas there's multiple $5,500, being paid, they have to write the check. Is that how it typically is done? It's
at the time of connection. If you're talking about the system connection charges.
Right.
We're going to build the system and we'll send out notices and I'll have a period of time when they connect. But as they come in to get that sewer connection permit, that's when the system connection charge would have to be paid.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm pretty sure he is one connection, so he'd have to pay for all 11 units at the time. All 10 units
all 10.
When he gets the permit.
Right. Okay. So, and then... the other part of the conversation was, as 10, that's $55,000 in this example here. So, beyond writing a check, are there other options available for our customers?
We have set up on an individual basis opportunities for payment schedules where they can be paid over time. I'm trying to think if we have done that frequently on a commercial basis. Maybe not, but it's not out of the question.
I think we should consider that. For a small business owner, $55,000 is a big chunk. It's huge. I think we should look at options. I mean, if it's a single finger home, we all think $5,500, you're done. But for a commercial guy, that's a lot of money. And I think we ought to try to look at ways, perhaps, of finding solutions to that big nut for some of these guys.
We'll work directly with him.
It sounds like a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. When you look at individuals, they're paying $20,000 for mound systems.
And we
that is a cheap ride, in my opinion. Now, the hits pay might be high. It is high. But $20,000 is four times as much. And it's not even, and this mound system won't even last probably 10 years. So here we're guaranteed to take care of all the service and everything. So in a sense, I think we're very reasonable. That's my opinion.
We've actually discussed that with him, that the cost of a system to replace what he has now for those 11 units would probably far exceed the $55,000.
And I don't think there's any dispute on that. I think the question is, how do you pay for it?
Yeah,
so, I mean, on septics, as we know, there's options out there to fund septics. I guess in the example here, we're talking about county. Are there options? I guess that was really the question. It's more so that.
And we do have an option.
Okay, thank you.
And Rob, one other thing, a commercial location with multiple units has got income from those leases.
Sure.
Where the single family home guy doesn't. So there is the ability for him to recoup, and some leases are written so that cost could be borne by the
tenant.
Sure.
So
he has options, and again, we've done this. This is the way we've done it, right? We haven't changed. But I do. Can I also
go
with another issue? And Mike and I have talked, I guess, over the years. I get concerned when we go by all that farmland, and that we've included those large parcels. And you know, in the past, I like seeing extending sewer to a known developer who's got a proposed plan, and we know what we're getting. We're extending it again in an area which has got a lot of pressure from traffic and other things. But anyway, we're including these entire parcels of just raw land. We have no idea, so we're basically contributing to the speculation and enhancing, you know, things and encouraging the loss of farmland by doing this. So I'd love to see a better way of extending sewer out to these parcels that need it, but then not impacting the agricultural community so that all of a sudden they get, you know, the pressure of losing that open space of agricultural lands and everything else, which is supposedly so important for us to maintain. So again, those are, you know, maybe only go back so far, you know, off the road.
We could, yeah.
But to include all these big parcels, if that all got developed in the next 10 years, what density would we have? And the impact, we're back again where we're behind the eight ball when it comes to road improvements and infrastructure issues and all this other stuff. So
I also would like to look at a way that, okay, I think two of these large parcels already have pending land use applications, John.
Yeah, this one and this one. These are in ag preservation.
Right. So the two that sort of are in the planning stages, if we could figure out a way to incorporate the projected lots into the financing system for the district so that all the cost, this capital cost, is not falling on the existing residents. If somehow we could incorporate some growth into our rates,
right,
I think it would improve rates.
Well, and keep in mind also, a lot of people years ago, to escape the high density of closer to the beach, moved away from it all. And now all of a sudden we're chasing them again. And so the guy with 100-foot frontage is nothing, or 200-foot frontage, or these large lots, they went out and bought these parcels, and now all of a sudden they're going to get $1,200 a year, possibly, sewer costs.
Now, in this case, we were waiting for those projects to develop. We had hoped they would extend the sewer out there, and then we could pick up the existing residents. That really hadn't happened in the time frame.
Well, the market, the market got
us. But then we had the residents themselves were really pushing for this project, and we just felt like we needed.
No, I understand it, but it's a two-edged sword, and I just think there might be a better way to be able to provide what they need, but then also not encourage the loss of all that farmland to development by the county encouraging it by including it into this sewer district, and now we've just made it that much more attractive.
Where's all this sewer water going?
It'll go to the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility. We have our large pump station 30 that we upgraded.
Very capable Hammond, right?
Yes, very capable.
All right. And where's that water go to? From there, from the tree.
Goes down to pump station 30, which is right at the intersection of Route 20 and Route 54. Mm-hmm. It's pumped directly to the wastewater treatment plant there at a South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility where it's treated and disposed of.
All right, that's the point. I got you to the plant, but where does the water, we got to have water. We just can't stop at the plant. Where's it going from there?
It goes to that particular plant goes to the ocean outfall.
Oh, it goes to the ocean outfall.
Correct.
So we won't have to worry about putting too much water out there then.
That's correct.
Now, in the sprinkling system, you only put so much in it, and the plant would get full certainly after a while.
Now, we don't have the spray irrigation system associated with South Coastal.
You said something, Mike, about a partial of those lands there was farmland exempt.
Yeah.
Explain to us what that means.
These are in ag preservation here.
Ag preservation.
Okay. This one and I believe this one are both in ag preservation, but they were part of our contiguous path and not leave a donut hole. Basically, sort of solar.
Some land on the north side of that road.
Both sides.
Farmland exempt. There's no house, there's no residence on here.
Okay.
It is strictly farm, so they can come in and apply for farmland exemption. As long as they're making so much money on the farm, they can prove that it's only being farmed, it's not being used for any other use.
And I dare say that most of that farmland is already farmland exempt from our tax base. My guess would be that.
Most likely,
Yes. We have that program. Most farmers take advantage of that. So when the sewer comes by, obviously they're not going to be impacted. Right. But it's the ag land preservation you're talking about, and there's different facets of that program. We don't know if they've actually sold the development rights. If they're just in the program, they can drop out in a few years because now they got sewer to this farmland and it's become more attractive to be developed. So
Right. Just
because it's in farmland preservation, there's no...
Hey, doesn't mean it.
Doesn't mean a thing. It just sounds good, feels good.
But does that mean that they are not participating in the expense of this expansion?
They are participating because each one of these has a residence on
it. Only for the 100 foot.
Only for the 100 foot and then for their house.
Not all the acreage, no.
Right, right.
Now,
I understand.
If they develop it, then we go back, break it down, charge them for the front footage.
Right. Later.
Before we these rates are projected. Before we set our rates, we'll know exactly the level of farmland preservation this land is in, we'll be able to determine our rates accurately.
But there's a big difference in value of farmland that has sewer capacity available to it and farmland that does not. And we have just enhanced this tremendously. And then they are exempt from having to, help with this district that they are now in. So I just think there should be some kind of a contribution somewhere along the line. If they want to be in a sewer district, then there ought to be a cost associated with it because... just somewhere. Somebody's paying for this, and it puts the burden on the other guy. We could have reduced that front footage charge for everybody if we'd had some kind of contribution from raw land that becomes in a sewer district, because we've just done a lot for that.
Is it feasible that we attach something to the tax? I'm just throwing ideas out here, but Councilman Cole is correct, and that is, in the event, there's more value to this property now because of the expansion from the county, and is there a mechanism to be able to put a fee associated to the property in the event it ever gets developed to get recouped?
Well, if it develops, they will be charged the system connection charges. They will be charged front footage. They don't get off the hook. It's just that they don't pay that now.
There's no availability fee. We would have to change our whole ordinance to include those type of fees. Again, the sewer ordinance as it exists doesn't allow for those type of things. So you would have to change your ordinance.
But the property values of that farmland today versus what we just do after this hearing, it goes from, $5,000 an acre to $25,000 an acre, whatever it is. But I'm just saying, so the current property owner benefits and will sell it and has escaped any contribution over the years to being in the sewer district that the county just created. So I don't know. I just feel that there's might be some obligation to help with these costs of extending sewer, or they say, wait, don't put us in it. We want to be farmers. So anyway, we need to work out later on, right, Mike?
Yeah, we continue to have these conversations
all the time.
And again, if it is farmland exempt permanently, then we won't even include any capacity in the system for it.
Are there any other questions from council before we open this up?
Can I finish real quick?
Okay,
we just have a proposed project schedule, just because I know I have some residents here and this has changed. We're sitting here today, it's our public hearing. July, if passed, we hope to in July... start our facilities plan environmental assessment. August, we will go into design phase. Hopefully by April, be advertising and bidding. And due to the seasonal restriction of Route 54, our construction start would be pushed back probably to August of 2016 with an operational, a system operational by May 2017.
Get the lottery. It's not right.
And another thing, just about 5 minutes before I walked down here to meet you today, I had this parcel request to be included in the district. At this point in time, if council chooses, we could include it in the district, but we can't guarantee its service because we're not sure if we're going to run out of depth. And until we do our design, we wouldn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So I reckon, assuming you receive that request, our recommendation would be to include it, and if we can serve it, we will.
Do we need a motion for that?
Not yet. Okay. Yes. Okay,
now
have you finished your...
Now
okay, are there any other questions from council? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to address this issue? Is there anyone here today that would like to address this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close public hearing and close public comment and need a motion. Mr. Moore, if you'd read the...
Resolution.
Resolution.
A resolution to extend the boundary of the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, FISSD, to include all those certain lots, pieces, or parcels of land situated along County Road 54, Lighthouse Road, primarily from Zion Church Road to Williamsville Road, and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
So, you need a motion?
Yes.
Yes. Then I'll introduce the motion. Are we including that one parcel that was just suggested by Mr. Izzo?
We did not receive a request on the portion. So I would say he's right there. would you want Rick in or out?
Okay. But it's not in yellow, right?
It's not in yellow.
And it's where
so
Mark.
Point
to it again, please.
It's the parcel right here, which is beside the commercial piece that was requested.
Mr. Ashman, do you by any chance have a tax map number of that? Anything that we could use for the purposes of an amendment?
No pressure.
I believe it's a commercial boat storage facility.
Just. That is the parcel just west of the commercial, of the existing commercial.
I get boat storage now.
Yeah.
Here comes a tax map number right now.
Yeah, because it's not been second.
Go on. Yeah, Frank.
The tax ID is 533, map 18, parcel 27.
So, why didn't he identify himself right so that we know it's on record that he's requested to come in? Somebody. Here we go.
I overlooked Darkie while looking for a ruse.
Just getting his name.
My name's John Lauer. I've owned the property since 1984, so I'm requesting that.
Excuse me before we go on further. Mr. President, I believe we need a motion to reopen the record at this point.
Yes, we will.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
So, Mr. Arlett, to reopen the record for the purpose of the gentleman expressing where his property is. Questions on that motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. You'd give us your name and that address, that piece of property.
John Lauer. The address is, it doesn't even have a lot number, so I don't have my glasses.
Just full service county staff. We're good.
I'm telling you, we're good to go here. We got everything. Here.
District 533, map 18, parcel 0027. And that's it.
Okay.
And I believe that there was a motion that did not have a second at this point.
That's correct. There was no second.
And if instead we've read the short title and then amended by adding parcel 533 map 18, parcel 27 to the proposed district, to the resolution.
Okay, so we need to vote on the
amendment.
Amendment first.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
I will introduce it.
Seconded by
Mrs.
Deaver to include this piece of property just referenced into the sewer district. Questions on that motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Now the motion to approve with the amendment.
Yes, it was the resolution as I'd previously read, as amended by adding parcel 533-18, parcel 27.
Motion, Mr. Arlette?
I shall introduce.
Second.
Second.
Mr. Cole, any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, as amended.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. Mr. Robertson, Woods at Walls Creek bond payment and release.
Good morning, Council. Vince Robertson, Assistant County Attorney. This is just sort of one of the final steps relating back to authorization that Council gave several months ago to call a bond for the Woods at Walls Creek development. There are actually two bonds on that development. One was for road work and one was for stormwater management work. Both were incomplete by the developer. We've been in negotiation since those bonds were called with Westchester Fire Insurance Company, who's the bond company, to get that money to complete the work. Mr. Izzo and the County Engineering Department, they have performed estimates for the stormwater management work, and it basically relates to the same amount as the bond. So Westchester now has agreed to pay the full amount of the bond to Sussex County so that Sussex County can bid out and complete the work. And one of the conditions of that payment was that Sussex County then would release the bonding company from any further obligations under the bond. Really, they wouldn't have any more obligations. Their liability ends at the last cent of that bond. So in talking with all legal staff, we determined that it would be best if we came back and got authorization for County Council to sign that release. So, you know, this is the first one. I will tell you it's not on for action today, but the road work, that bond amount actually exceeds the amount of the road work that remains to be completed. So we are working with Westchester to come up with a means that Sussex County would bid out the work, get it completed, while Westchester pays as that work's as done. In this case, they're just paying us all the money. We're going to go do it.
Right.
Unless there's any questions, I just have a motion. I do. Be it moved that Sussex County Council authorizes the president of Sussex County Council to execute a release of Westchester Fire Insurance Company and its bond number K07046480 for the stormwater management work in a development known as the Woods at Walls Creek. The release shall be held by the assistant county attorney pending release of the bond payment, at which time it shall be transmitted to Westchester Fire Insurance Company along with the original bond.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried.
Thank you very much.
I do have a quick question, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
Just in general on these bonds, just as it not specific to this, but how many other communities do we have in the county that have issues regarding developers going under and bonds and work not getting done that we're holding bonds?
Well, all of the projects have a bond of some sort or another. You know, it could be stormwater, roads, or even sewer work. And I know the County Engineering Department has been working to determine what work still needs to be
done.
Come down. Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of times what we try to do is threaten the developer that we are going to call the bond or we're going to hold building permits or things like that to get the work done. I know they've done a good job, and Michelle Warren has been great at really categorizing that to find out where we are.
We have had to call in a number of bonds and letters of credit, probably a half dozen. Oak Crest Farms, the Reserves, which is in Ocean View, Summercrest are the three that are most active right now. I'm trying to think. We have, obviously, this one, Woods at Walls Creek, Sea Chase.
Right.
So somewhere between six and eight.
So the question, and because I've had calls in the past, not since I've been here on council, but just in general. As a county, I know we have bonds, but if it comes to a point where as the bond monies do not pay for these improvements, who's on the hook?
The residents.
And what the county tries to do is ensure that the bond will cover that, because the bond is what, 1.25%
Yeah, 125%.
Or excuse me, 125%, right.
The problem, one of the problems we run into is when these projects go over a long period of time, mm-hmm. for example, Summercrest, you know, we've called in the letter of credit. Well, it started in 2006. Here we are in 2015, and we're working on the plans and specs, and prices have increased, plus some of the work that was completed has degraded. So it's a tough call.
Yeah, I just, because, I mean, that's, you know, as we know, it's no fault of these homeowners that the developer went under, per se, and then here they are stuck having to deal with the developers, you know, going out of business, if you would. And I think that is of concern for me. We've had issues, I know, with roads and regarding that same scenario, whereas the road, the homeowners had to pay for all of it because, you know, this is a town municipality, but I don't understand how that could be fair for those homeowners. And so I'm just wondering what kind of a solution that we can make sure we have to protect mm-hmm. our residents.
Well, one thing we've worked at is improving the process is when we request a security, it's not no longer based upon the estimate that the contractor hands the developer. It's based upon the value of work that if we had to go out and bid the completion right. of the work and perhaps hire an engineer or my crew has to go out and inspect it. So we're using prices that are based upon the county bidding out the work and not the unit prices that a contractor gives to the developer. So that's going to improve it as well.
I have the same kind of questions. In Nolak Acres, it's built years ago. New folks are moving in and want to know why there are holes in the roads and who's responsible, and they're saying they paid $250 to a homeowners association that doesn't exist. So I don't know if we will have any money or any kind of protection on board for that community. But when people go to settlement, it would seem to me that this should come out somewhere, but they don't, evidently. And I get the calls about what are we going to do about their road. So that, and I have Granville Estates, where some new houses are being built by a small developer. Now, would that developer's work be under bond? Mm-hmm.
That project is under construction, so there are securities still in
there
place.
There are securities. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Any more questions of council? I think we're good.
Very good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Whaley. Mayor's challenge to end veterans' homelessness program. Oh, we have.
Good morning, Council, and thank you for allowing us to come before you and discuss this very important issue. Our office works with various housing groups on issues, and we have been approached recently by federal, state, and local officials about the mayor's challenge to end veterans' homelessness. This initiative was announced by First Lady Michelle Obama and Second Lady Jill Biden, and is a joint effort combining forces from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Housing and Urban Development, the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, the National League of Cities, and state and local governments. There are also many non-governmental veteran support groups that are at every level that are supporting this initiative. And the goal is to eliminate veterans' homelessness in 2015. Ms. Nauman is going to go over some of the details.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
By signing on, Sussex County will join several other local jurisdictions. Governor Markell earlier this month recently signed on for the entire state of Delaware, Newcastle County, Kent County, City of Dover, City of Wilmington, Newark, Seaford, and Georgetown have also signed on. We have no intention of recreating the wheel. Significant efforts are already in place throughout the state to ensure the success of the initiative here in Delaware. We will work with Seaford and Georgetown to establish a Sussex County working group and join forces with the existing statewide working group. We will likely have a small press release or summit of some kind in the next month or so to help bring awareness to the cause and reach out to potential stakeholders. Our role will be to help facilitate the coordination of existing resources so that our local homeless veterans get housing as quickly and efficiently as possible. We've been assured by our federal and state partners that the resources in Delaware, like VASH and SRAP vouchers, are sufficient for the population we will be serving. Just last week, the Homeless Planning Council of Delaware released their findings from the 2015 point-in-time survey taken annually on one night in January. Volunteers count sheltered and unsheltered homeless individuals throughout the state. because it's only one night. It is only a snapshot of the Delaware homeless population. This year, it was determined that 950 people experienced homelessness in Delaware, and that includes adults and children. Of the 950, there were 102 people experiencing homelessness that identified as having served in the United States Armed Forces. Again, this is probably not the true count of our homeless veterans, but it does provide a goal for jurisdictions to work towards. Thank you for your support, and we hope that you will consider officially signing on to the Mayor's Challenge.
Okay. Council, the way we would encourage you to consider this is through a resolution, which I have and will read, and then a motion which would codify the resolution, and we have a placement for all five of your signatures, and unless I hear otherwise, we would proceed with this and take a picture of the, sure. the signing on. And I'll read the resolution, and then Brad and Brandy will have you consider the motion. A resolution pledging Sussex County Council's support of the Mayor's Challenge to End Veterans Homelessness in 2015, whereas the Mayor's Challenge to End Veterans Homelessness in 2015 is a joint initiative of joining forces. In 2014, a call to action was made to elected officials in cities, counties, and states across America, urging them to join together in making a commitment to end veteran homelessness in their communities by 2015. Homelessness in America is a societal concern that touches all walks of life, including veterans who serve their country faithfully and honorably. And the truest measure of society is in how it treats the least among it, and those suffering from homelessness deserve neither pity nor to be forgotten. Instead, those who are vulnerable, especially homeless veterans, deserve our utmost appreciation, respect, and most of all, support. Therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council does hereby join with other local governments across the nation in accepting the Mayor's Challenge to End Veterans Homelessness in 2015, and I have a signature for all five members and the Clerk of the Council. Would you like to read?
I do have a motion. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the resolution, and with the support of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Delaware State Housing Authority, agrees to accept the Mayor's Challenge to End Veterans Homelessness by the end of 2015.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll do that.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions?
I guess I have a dumb question for you. We're talking about veterans who have served in wars. Are we? Or are we saying any all veteran. People who have served in the service
yes.
in
any
regard?
Yes.
Okay, so they could have been stationed right
yes.
here.
Sure.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Any more questions, Council?
Do we know how many are in, Mr. President? Do we know 102, I think you mentioned, in the state. Do we know how many are in Sussex County?
I do not have the specific breakdown for Sussex yet, but I can definitely get that for you.
Mm-hmm. Still working on updating those figures for us.
In other words, there's no difference between those that served here on the home front or those that served on the front line. Is that what we're trying to say here?
As far as the resources that are available, they do not distinguish, no.
I would think those that served on front line, lost their limbs, and those kind of things are certainly top priority,
sure.
certainly above. I'm a veteran, but I didn't lose no limbs. I'm grateful for that. But I didn't get into the front line either.
Sure.
So I don't feel I deserve the same treatment as those who served on the front line.
There
and those
may
that
be...
lost their lives, and many of them, even the families, and some of them, they didn't come back, and there's their families without a husband, without a dad, without a lot of things. They've given everything. So I feel those have given all, and especially if you lose your limbs and your arm, your legs, all these things, are, to me, they're not even able to really do the regular job compared to the veteran that's still capable to do the same job. So I kind of think there should be a deviation here.
Well, so. there's definitely additional resources for certainly disabled veterans that come home. There's, you know, not just housing related that we're focusing on, but also, you know, certainly with job and recovery, there's all kinds of additional programs through the Veterans Affairs. So that I think has been addressed, probably not completely, but more so than what we would be involved in. So.
And we're actually hoping to just completely end veterans homelessness, which will take in all levels.
Mm-hmm.
We just what seems to happen is sometimes people may fall between the cracks between one agency and the other, and this is to bring everybody together so that doesn't happen. So
mm-hmm.
that's the goal.
Any more questions, Council? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Mr. Guy,
thank
how
you.
Do you want to do this?
Thank you all.
Picture.
We can have the resolution.
You see what I'm talking about, right?
We'd like to have you all gather behind Mike.
Is this a different... Oh, it's on fancy paper, excuse me.
You can sign it after or before. It's,
what do you want?
It's going to be in the picture. We probably ought to sign it first, huh?
It doesn't make my goodness gracious.
Can I stand?
Hey, some people are going to say, hey, there's no signature
here
on that.
Rob, for Lord's sake, please sign that.
I'm taller now.
You know how it is.
He's no, I don't.
He's our
youngest member. Mr. Wilson.
What's that? Stay in the picture.
Oh, okay.
I will look. Takes him a long time.
Long name.
Hey. I'm trying to remember the letter.
You know what it is?
Is your name Alan Wilson?
Cole.
All right, George. You on the
clock? Oh, you're quick, George.
Wow.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish. Yeah. Some of those you need to read.
I wish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're
all done.
Who gets this?
We're official.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Robin gets it. Yeah, Robin got signed. That's right. Get a picture of Robin signed.
That's all right. I think I'll pass.
Or if I get Robin's picture.
I'll pass on that.
Yeah. In the middle of all this.
Did you see Todd? He's on the other end.
All right.
Got a final microphone now.
Thank you all very much.
Yes.
Thank you for agreeing to sign up for that.